Hey, welcome to Hey Julie here at julieland.com. All the most beautiful women, the hottest photography, all. What else could you ask for? Really? I'll tell you what else you could ask for. You could ask for a supermodel, a fetish queen, a burlesque star, all rolled into one, the one and only Dita Von Teese. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine.
So I hear you're in Chicago promoting your book.
I am.
It's called?
It's called Burlesque and the Art of the Tease, and when you flip it over, the other title is called Fetish and the Art of the Tease.
What a great deal, two in one.
Yeah, it is a great deal.
So let's start with the burlesque side. You fell in love with that era when you were a little girl.
Yeah.
And when did you start acting the role, though? When did you get, you started collecting the...
When I was old enough to take my clothes off. No. well, I started dressing vintage when I was, you know, allowed to dress myself, basically. But when I was 18, I was working in the L.A. rave scene as a go-go dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wandered into a strip club, and I decided to try doing a real striptease there. And I decided to capitalize on the fact that I looked different than a lot of other strippers that worked in strip clubs at that time.
Right. You're not exactly the big-boobed blonde.
No, I'm exactly the opposite of that, I think. Well, I still have pretty good-sized knockers. But
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But gorgeous dark hair. And so what did you think about that first time on stage?
I loved it. I didn't see what the big deal was about. I didn't see what the big difference between what I was doing and not getting paid very much money for and what they were doing. Because I worked in a club that wasn't topless or nude. It was like a bikini club.
Oh, right.
At the time. So it didn't feel much different. I just thought, well, this is great. I mean, I get to do a strip tease. I get to wear all my corsets and stockings and put on makeup and do my hair. I loved it. So I don't think I ever really, the nudity issue, even when I did start taking my, you know, top off and,
right.
or even dancing nude, it was never, I always felt like, well, this is showbiz, you know, because
sure.
I read about burlesque and I was always a ballet dancer and it's like you're always getting dressed in front of people and undressed in front of people and there's no time to be shy. So I never really thought about the fact that I was, you know, I never remember
yeah.
being nervous about being naked.
What did your family know?
Yeah, I didn't really, I just did what I did. And at the same time, I had a regular job working as a manager in a lingerie store and
uh-huh.
then working as a manager in a cosmetics department in a department store. And so I always had a job and it's like, you know, I just wanted to do lots of things and who was going to deny me of that? I was
right.
paying my own bills and my own rent. And so I couldn't really have anyone telling me what to do.
Gotcha. Good for you. When did it really start to take off? When did you see it?
Well, I feel like
hit?
It was. There were always moments where I was like, "Well, I've really made it now."
Right,
you know,
you're like, "I've made it," and then the next one.
Cover, it's a big deal, and then. But to me, really, in the what I think the most significant thing that ever happened to me was being on the cover of Playboy, and that's when suddenly everything I was able to do mainstream press more and a lot more interviews and shows at big events and things. That's when I feel like things really changed for me.
Just opened a lot of doors.
Yeah.
And when, okay, so let's flip the book over. When did you get into the fetish side of things?
About the same time. When I was 18, I told you I worked in a lingerie store.
Right.
And I was looking for I collected vintage lingerie from the time I was 18 years old. And I was looking for a real Victorian corset. And someone gave me an address, and I went into the store, and having no idea what I was stepping into, and it was a fetish store. It was in Orange County, California.
Right.
And I walked in, and there was all this, like, bondage equipment and patent leather and rubber, and I started looking at all the magazines, and I'd already been taking pinup style photos.
Right.
And a light bulb just sort of went on in my head, and I thought, you know, I'm going to bring back this like nostalgic pinup thing and I'm going to be famous in the fetish scene for doing these Betty Page style photos. So I set out to do that. And that's what my whole goal was for the years after that.
Wow. Now, does your fetish wear seep into your sexuality? You know, is it the, do you, are you part of a BDSM community? Do you like that part of the game?
I'm really pretty private, but I have to say at that time, I just wanted to learn about all kinds of fetishes. I wanted to learn about other people's fetishes. I wanted to talk to people, and I wanted to get dressed up in my clothes. And I lived my life for a short time. I spent time being a submissive,
a
bootlicker. I mean, I did. You know, I
so
had
you
fun
did
with
do
it.
All that stuff.
I did, but I felt like it was never really. I never really found like myself being one of those kind of fetishes that was driven sexually by one thing. The way that a lot of the people I met were, and plus I've always been really private about sex and like. You know, letting people see what I was into. So it was always behind closed doors when I really got into it.
Sure. I've seen you, you've come on here at Playboy before. I've seen you and at different events, and you're always in the vintage. Do you have anything that's not? Does Dita Von Teese ever lay around in t-shirts and sweats?
No, I honestly no. Don't. Like when I want to be comfortable, I have these 5 cashmere robes in every color that I love to wear.
Wow.
And for me, I just want to be naked wrapped in my cashmere robe if I want to be comfortable. And, you know, if I have to, I work on a lot of my own props and do a lot of dirty work and stuff like painting and glittering and things for my shows. And, you know, but I have like 1 pair of pants that I'll wear that have paint all over them that I'll wear to work on that stuff. I'm not working on that stuff wearing my vintage clothes or anything.
Right.
But
you've got vintage underwear on, though, don't you?
I
underneath
have nice
it.
Underwear on. I've got good underwear on all the time.
It must be expensive to be as fabulous and glamorous.
Yeah, I guess it is expensive sometimes, but it's something that I love. And some people, you know, everyone chooses what they want to spend their money on. And
there you go. Yeah. Do you have advice for women who want to be glamorous? What's something that your everyday woman can do to be a little bit more glamorous and a little less American, if you will?
I think the easiest thing is everyone has to wear bras and panties. Oh, you don't have to wear panties, actually, but most people like to have some kind of undergarments, and why not choose something pretty when you're choosing your things that you have to buy anyway?
Right.
Why not buy something that's buy a bra in red, or buy something, a lacy negligee to sleep in instead of sleeping in a t-shirt and shorts.
So throw out the white cotton granny panties.
I don't know, keep them, you never know. I mean, you might want them every now and then.
Right.
But I think, you know, it's nice to bring glamour into your life that way, and if you don't want to be flagrant about it, you don't want everyone seeing your glamorous side, then you could do that. And but I think also some people have forgotten about just basic grooming, you know.
Right.
I go to the grocery store and I'm sort of like, wow, she didn't even brush her hair to come out to the grocery store today. And just, you know, do something for yourself and do it because you like it, not because you're trying to impress other people. And but there, you know, I think it makes people feel good about themselves when you do something nice for yourself.
Good advice. With your book, so the side that's burlesque, did you ever find that corset that you were looking for?
The one that I first went out to get? Yeah, I still have it, in fact.
What, is that your pride piece? You have certain things in your wardrobe that you like are almost museum?
Well, my prize piece is a corset that I, 2 corsets actually, that I got from Mr. Pearl, who is the most famous corset maker in the world and very elusive and amazing. And he's in Paris and he does all the corsets for Dior and Lacroix and Jean-Paul Gaultier. And he's really the only couture corset maker. And so I really cherish what he made for me because he's become a really good friend in all of our fittings that we had to make these corsets. And so they always remind me of my time in Paris. And that there's a lot of things like that. Like my cover, the corset I'm wearing on the cover of Playboy is something that's special to me that I'll never give up, and people are always offering to buy it from me.
You're like, not a chance. Do you ever wear them, or do you just look at them?
No, I wear them.
You
definitely.
Do?
Mm-hmm.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I was afraid that you would just have these.
I wear everything that I have that I really love. I don't just keep it under glass or something. I like to enjoy things. And every now and then I'll rip a dress or ruin something that's survived for, 100 years until it met me. But, it's, I try to get a picture of everything.
Right. Good for you. Tell me about being on the cover of Vogue. I mean, you talk about being on the cover of Playboy is a big deal, but come on, Vogue.
Well, I haven't been on the cover of Vogue yet. I've been in Vogue.
Okay, a scene in the issue. You should be on the cover. My bad.
There was a chance of me being on the cover for this last one, but then, what it is, it's a big game where, whoever's got the movie coming out and they, it's
right.
There's a whole political thing that happens.
Well, I was voting for you, but I'm sorry, my bad, but you were in it. That's still huge.
I was in it. I've been in it a few times, and it is great to sort of be, I'm a stripper, and it's sort of funny. It's a little bit amusing to be in Vogue and to think, well, I really kind of had one over on everyone, didn't I?
Right. You're like, guess what? I'm a stripper. Hello.
Yeah, guess what? In case anyone forgot.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you ever go to strip clubs now? What do you think about the scene?
I was just at Scores, actually,
uh-huh.
Because someone said, oh, we have a burlesque show. And so I went to Scores.
How was it?
Well, I was way more interested in what was going on around and watching the girls. And I thought, I've followed kind of like, have you ever been to the Body Shop in like the 80s?
Right.
Because it was like Flashdance there.
Right.
And people used to really dance. And there's still some girls, of course, like that are headlining strippers that do make an effort on stage. But it seems to me there's this whole trend of when girls now want to do as little work as possible, and they kind of want to be like, oh, well, I don't have to dance around because I look like this.
And
it's a trend almost. And it's almost like it's cool when you don't. The less you move and the less trouble you go to, the more they like you or something.
Standing on the end of the stage, holding the pole with that sway, looking about a foot above everyone's head.
It's like nonchalant and really aloof. And
right.
I think it's kind of great in its own way, but it's like it's a whole new, it's a different thing.
Right.
And I don't know. It was strange. It was very strange.
The burlesque wasn't like that, was it?
Well, the burlesque was, wow, I don't know why they called this burlesque.
Really?
It was just, a choreographed dance with three girls to a modern song, and at the end one of them jumped up, landed in the splits, and took her bra off, and she had pasties on, and I was sort of like, oh, okay,
ta-da.
Burlesque is everywhere, the word anyway.
What if people want to go see a burlesque show? Is there places that we could go?
I think, well, there's local burlesque nearly everywhere now. I think the best thing to do would be to, Google and find out what's in your city. I know it's everywhere, and it's not all exactly what I do, but it's fun to watch anyway.
Yeah.
And fun to get inspiration to maybe do something like it yourself in your own home.
Yeah, learn something.
Yeah, and there's like burlesque classes everywhere. Like everyone's learning pole dancing and everyone's learning the art of striptease.
Right.
So I think that's great if someone goes out and buys herself a set of garter belts and stockings and wants to go learn the striptease. I think that's great.
Well, if they want to buy it, they can buy the stockings from you, right?
Yeah, I have my own brand of stockings. They're on my site. They're like the real authentic, fully fashioned stockings. They're not fake ones. They're not fake seam up the back because, there is a difference. Not everyone knows that, but there is. It's like the difference between a couture dress and a off-the-rack dress.
Right.
You can buy really great stockings that are all hand-stitched, or you can buy, stretchy, modern pantyhose.
Right. And what's your website? Give it to us.
It's dita.net, dita.net.
Perfect. And you can buy it there. What other things do you have for sale?
Well, I sell a lot of autographed 8x10 photos and calendars, and my book will be on sale there soon, but
Excellent. It
isn't yet. And what else do I sell? I sell, whatever I can find.
Right.
Whatever I can find to sell, I put it up there.
If you like it, you'll sell it.
Yeah.
So when you wear your burlesque in your corset, you've trained your waist, right?
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean?
Well, it's when
did
you
I
wear
say it right
for long enough. Yeah. When you wear one for long enough, and I've been wearing them for over a decade, and I went through a period in my life, like I said, when I was in the strip club, I wore a corset all the time, every day, and I worked like crazy when I started working in the strip club. I worked 7 days a week. I loved it.
Wow.
And I always wore a corset so much that people actually thought that I had like a scar on my stomach or something like that. But I just loved it. I loved how I had to carry myself and how it made me walk and how it made me dance and how it looked, of course. And so it's sort of a form of body modification in a way. It can shape your waist, but really I'm not like advocating that people go get a corset to become thinner or to shape their waist, because it's not really the way, and it's not, you know, it's not really the easiest way, but it can modify the way your body looks a little bit.
I heard a rumor that I'm sure you've heard this and you can dispel it, that you removed a set of ribs to make your waist even smaller.
No, I haven't, and neither has my husband. everyone wants to say that. There's actually never been any... There's no fact in all of history that anyone's ever done that.
Urban legend.
It's completely an urban legend. They've looked at women's skeletons from the time when tight lacing was really popular, and nobody's ever done it in reality.
Thank you for setting us straight.
It's okay.
And speaking of your husband, you're married to Marilyn Manson.
Mm-hmm.
When was that?
December 3rd.
December 3rd. And was it a... He's kind of fetish, so was it a fetish wedding, a burlesque wedding?
It was none of those things.
None of it.
We wanted a really elegant wedding, and we wanted to show people, you know, everyone expected a gothic wedding or something.
Sure.
And we, you know, we're not really stereotypical goth. I don't know where people get that. We don't have, you know, black bats flying around or anything in our house. We don't wear capes, and we don't have vampire fangs. But
good to know.
We wanted our wedding just to be opulent and lush and be colors that we love, which are deep, rich, beautiful jewel tone colors and deep, rich reds and purples and blues and lots of gold. And we just wanted it to be really pretty. That was all.
Good for you.
It was.
And it was perfect. Mm-hmm. And he's a pretty eccentric guy when he's out and about. You guys look very good together. Does he own a pair of sweats and a t-shirt that he hangs around with?
No. He wears a lot of black t-shirts. Yeah, he would have a black t-shirt now and then. But, you know, when we're around the house, he's usually wearing, like, black pajamas. We call him the man in the black pajamas. So... Yeah, but he doesn't really wear, like, navy blue sweatpants with a hood, you know.
Right.
Or jogging. He's not really wearing Adidas around the house or anything.
Gotcha.
Like that. No.
But is it an act? I don't know how to say it. Is there a persona that is given out when you guys are out in public and a different one when you're at home alone together?
No, I think if anything, it might be that we're, you know, a little guarded or more reserved around people we don't know.
Sure.
Fame
will tend to do that.
You know, the way that we dress and the way that we style ourselves, it's not like we have completely separate personas and suddenly we put on our stage look and we're so different at home. We're so different off stage. It's not that way.
Good.
For us.
How did you guys meet?
We met about 5 years ago. He wanted me to be in one of his videos. He had all these photo references of me, and he was a member of my website, Dita.net.
Absolutely.
And, he got my phone number. They tried to call me to ask me to be in this video, and I declined because I was busy doing something else. But so he got my phone number. He started calling me, and I didn't really know why he was calling me, but he was trying to get a date with me. So eventually he succeeded.
And it was love at first.
We were friends for a long time.
Love at first sight? Did it hit
no.
you?
No, because I had dated rock stars before. I was a little you know, not really into the idea of another rock star boyfriend. So I was apprehensive, and you know, I just made him kind of earn earn a date with me. And even when we went out, I was sort of like, well, this is fun. It's not really like I'm going to marry this guy. And I ended up marrying him.
It's exactly like you're going to marry that guy.
No, but you never know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't plan it.
Do you go on tour with him or anything?
Oh, yeah. I've spent a lot of time being on tour with him. And, you know, I'm always trying to be there to support him, and he does the same for me. So
good. Are you the mommy type?
You know, I don't know. I mean, that's the most commonly asked question now that I've got married, is like, oh, are you guys going to have kids? And I'm like, well, I don't need to have children to validate myself as a woman in the world. And it doesn't make me more sensitive or kind if I say, yes, I'd love to be a mother.
Right.
It's not, I just would like to be married and concentrate on being married first, and maybe, you know, maybe I will and maybe I won't, and that'd be up to both of us. And frankly, he's not like, please, can we have children? He doesn't really.
He
has a hard enough time taking care of our cats, let alone a child.
That's funny. This is a funny note. My husband used to be in a band back in, God, it must be the 80s now.
Mm-hmm.
And Marilyn's band opened for them.
Oh, my God.
Back.
So were you there?
No, I just met him a couple years ago, but mm-hmm. It was like the beginning of both of their careers.
That's funny.
And
actually, didn't he come to the set when I was on Playboy TV with you guys once?
I don't.
Because the first time that Manson and I met face to face, I was doing Playboy television. And I remember I always did it with you on your show.
Right.
And he'd come to the set. I mean, he was hiding out in the dressing room.
I think so. You know
what?
You're right.
That was the first time we met face to face. He kind of insisted on bringing, he wanted to come to the set and bring me a gift. And that was at Playboy Studios.
Wow. Playboy is all around in your life, huh?
It is.
Catapulted you to mainstream. It got you your husband to meet you for the first time.
He was very impressed with me because I had, like, there were naked chicks all over the place. He was loving it.
Who doesn't? This was definitely
like,
the place
to hang out.
This
is the girl I'm going to marry.
Well, congratulations on your book.
Thank you.
The first of many. Is this something that you see yourself pursuing?
Yeah, I mean, I have actually with my publisher, I have a deal for a second book, so I just have to figure out what that's going to be.
Excellent. This one is called Burlesque and the Art of the Tease and Fetish and the Art of the Tease by Dita Von Teese. Perfect title.
Thank you.
Be sure to get it. You can get it at Amazon. Very soon you'll be able to get it at Dita.net. So go there and get your stockings.
Yeah, but we want people to buy them on Amazon.com because we want to be on the bestseller list.
There you go. Go to Amazon.com and get a bunch of copies. Give them to all your friends. And so you're promoting your book. What else is on the line for Dita? What else? What haven't you done that you're just dying the next step?
Well, I have something really big coming out in the fall that I'm not allowed to talk about. I had to sign a long contract that said I wouldn't say a word
all
the time, but it's really exciting, and I'm really excited about it.
And it'll be obvious when it hits.
Yeah, it's going to be a big global thing, so it'll be everywhere.
Congratulations.
They'll be sick of me.
That's so exciting. Now, is your family just totally ecstatic? Are you in touch with them?
Oh, yeah, I always have been, but it took some time for my father to come around, but he's definitely come around since.
He's loving it now, mm-hmm. isn't he?
Yeah, you know how they are.
Proud of his little girl.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Have an excellent signing today. Everyone, please go to Dita.net. You'll love it. You will absolutely love it. And I wish you all the best. I can't wait to see what you're talking about this fall. Maybe we'll have, if you're not too big after your global to do, we'll be able to talk to you again.
Of course, anytime.
All right, all the best, Dita.
Okay, thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Wow, that could be the most famous person we've had so far. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people, but it's so funny that Dita Von Teese was on Night Calls And now she's in Vogue. She's married to Marilyn Manson. She goes to all the hot parties. And look at me. My husband opened for her husband's band. And look at him. Go figure. You never know where life's going to take you. Hopefully, it'll take you to Julie Land, because that's where all the hottest women are. And enjoy. What else could you ask for? Talk to you next time on Hey Julie.